Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, with your host, Mike Leonard. Tune in on Sundays at noon and listen to Mike count down the top 30 songs on KCEG Radio. You're going to hear all your favorites on there that you've listened to all through the week. And to make sure that your favorite songs make the chart, don't forget to vote for that song. There's a little star next to the name. Just select that button. You can give it 1 to 4 stars. That way you can keep your favorite songs on that chart and help out the artist. The Top 30 Countdown every Sunday at noon with Mike Leonard of KCEG Radio.
Top 30 Countdown. Top 30 Countdown. Top 30 Countdown. Top 30 Countdown.
It's new music. It's unsigned artists. It's alternative classics. This is NUA.
Hello, Jay Atkins here, presenter of the award-winning NUA radio show. It's 2 hours each week of unsigned music from around the globe. So tune in every Friday on KCEG Radio and check out the schedule pages for times of the show. Also, please visit www.nuashow.co.uk to hear previous shows.
The biggest unsigned music show on the radio. Jay Adkins, NUA Show.
Tell me that it's true. You love me like I love you, and we can work it out.
So you gotta get up, so you.
Hello, everybody there.
Diane's here.
Jan's here.
Hi, Diane.
Well,
I'm
hey,
trying to get
Jan.
Through.
Hey, how you
All
guys
right.
doing?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. How's everybody there?
Doing all right.
I'm kind of winging it tonight because our internet wasn't working today. And so is Jan Cooper in now?
That is
yeah.
Jan.
Okay, hi, Jan.
I'm talking to you on Skype because I can hear you better.
Okay, yeah, it sounds excellent over here.
Sounds nice and clear. When you get started, Jan, I'd like to do is I'm going to, of course, introduce you. And what I'd like you to do is give a little bio where you came into the music business and how you ended up, you know, doing what you do and how we connected. And kind of, you know, the abbreviated version.
I will be very abbreviated.
No. Actually, you know what? I mean, I think everybody wants to hear this story. You know, we want to keep it positive, but I don't know if we want to mention, well, the overseas perception of the U.S. You know what I mean? Maybe we can.
No. You know what? I want to make it as positive as possible.
Absolutely. And Jan's calling in from Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, Canada?
Yes.
Oh, you know where Hope, British Columbia is then?
Sure do. Go through Hope to get up to central British Columbia.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful town there.
Yeah, it's except we've been dealing with over 150 forest fires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Vancouver, we've got really, really bad air level where it's totally covered in smoke.
Oh, did he just cut out, or?
Are you
no,
still there?
Oh, I'm
okay.
Still here. I'm just not saying anything.
Okay.
What's your time looking like?
About 2.5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep track of the chat board, and Rudy's my backup.
Oh, I guess it is open. Yeah, we have not had luck at all with internet today.
We'll just go down
my boss told me. Pardon?
What do you think the problem is?
Oh, the internet provider. I know my boss was saying today that they had two blackouts on the internet yesterday. They just,
do
I don't
guys,
know, they're...
Do you guys use fiber optics where you are?
Oh, yeah, but see, it's kind of, they got kind of the monopoly here where they can pretty much, they're the only company that can actually put out internet right now in this area.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
So, yes. So we're kind of at their mercy. And I got a mouse that's acting up really bad on this other screen, so I'm just... Okay, we got about a minute left.
And four.
Yeah,
There, I think I finally got it going. Come on, boy.
All right.
There he
is. I forgot what the topic was.
Oh, well, we're talking about distribution tonight, publishing.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't even get on the internet to read it earlier. Distribution of their music, right?
Yes, overseas.
Beautiful downtown North Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, it's the Mike Leonard Show.
Playing unsigned artists 24/7, and you are listening to the Mike Leonard Show. Now here's Mike with today's topic.
Thank you, girls. Tonight's topic is distribution. We have our co-host tonight, Diane Make. Hi, Diane.
Hey, how you doing there, Mike?
Good, thank you. And we have Jan Cooper. We're going to have distribution. He's going to tell us about the distribution of music tonight.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jan, thanks for joining us today. Calling
Thank
in
you.
All the way from Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah. Oh, that's why
well,
you're
you know, Dan,
I'd
like to do is let's start off with your a little bit of your background, and so people could know, the listeners can know where you've been and what you've done in the music business, and then maybe kind of, you know, carve a trail through of how then we met and what we're a little bit of what we're working on together and all that good stuff.
Well, I'll try to be as brief as possible because I've been around for a long time.
Go ahead. Expound.
Okay. I first started off as a singer within my own band. So I sang for 18 years with my band. And then I realized there were no vocal coaches here in Vancouver. And the first group I worked with was a group called Loverboy and Whitesnake.
Oh, wow.
From there, I decided that there was a need to provide a service to help bands get record deals, but not really in the United States, more in Europe, Asia, and Africa, because the markets are much larger there. And for the last 26 years, I've been going to MIDEM, which is the World Music Trade Show in Cannes, France, where all the record companies meet to buy product for their territories. How I met Diane is I review product of original artists on a website called Sonic Bids, and her manager at that time, and Cosmo found me and thought I was one of the few legitimate people around.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's very few, unfortunately, in this industry. I'm sure you know the story, Jan.
Diane, the biggest problem I've been facing is scams out of Los Angeles, New York, and Nashville of guys that used to work for the majors who got fired and then set up their own recording studios. I just dealt with a young artist from Atlanta, Georgia, whose parents lost $150,000.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
It sure is.
To a scam when they could have used it for their music career. So, you know, and so how long have we known each other now, Jan?
Oh, God. I think it's probably going on 4 years now, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, actually, I think we're over four. Heading towards like five. But yeah, it's been a time, and we've been knowing each other, and you took, you know, and when I was convinced that you were as genuine as you sound.
Thank you.
Yeah, in real. you know, you went over to the Meet'em in France, which is once a year, and you have a lot of contacts over there, people for many years, right?
Yeah, I mean, this year alone, I met with Universal UK and also Sony Italy, and we've cut more deals, one with Cutter Records, which has been around for 30 years, that deals with Spain, Argentina, Mexico, and the United States.
So when you came back that first year, I don't know if you remember, from the Meet'em, actually, you came back with several contracts, right, in your hand for me to look at. I'm trying to remember how many.
There was seven of them, including one of my best buddies is the head of Warner Chappell Publishing out of Brazil.
Yes, and it was, you know, what was amazing to me, Jan, and blew me away is that the contracts were like three or four pages, not a novel, not a, you know, a bunch of books, you know, get lots and lots of pages. They were so simple.
Well, you know what? Most of the companies, especially in Europe, are actually owned by families, not by big corporations.
Yeah, it's a different world over there. A lot of people, a lot of artists, you know, want to go overseas, and a lot of overseas artists want to come here. But I, you know, the grass isn't necessarily greener, is what I tell them. It's just different.
Say, Jan?
Yes.
I was kind of curious when you mentioned that a family lost $150,000 going to the wrong distributor or publisher. What happened? Can I ask?
Yeah, no, basically there was a lot of promises made and they kept telling them they're going to do this, but it's going to cost you more money. So they kept sucking them in because these people had a lot of money. They knew what to do.
Okay, so, I mean, you can't say the company's name or anything, I suppose.
No, I'm dealing more and more with this. I dealt with a single parent, and it's usually young artists, and this single parent had spent $40,000 with a guy out of Los Angeles that had worked with Hannah Montana or Miley Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so what's happening, they're dropping names, and the people are going, oh, my God, that's fantastic. I'll go down to your studio and I'll be produced by you. That's where they're making their money.
Yeah, it's fortunate. It's kind of like the same thing, Jan. The other night I was talking. We've been talking and doing the show for a few weeks now on Fridays. And I mentioned, you know, it's important for an artist to have a budget to promote themselves, just like the promote any other business, but the difference being is you either spend it, that money and that budget with somebody that's going to do something for you, that's honest, hardworking, or you're going to give it to somebody that's going to grab it and run down the road and do nothing with it, or keep on asking for more and more and never deliver anything.
I agree with you, Diane. I think one of the biggest problems is, and please don't take this as rudeness, I find that most artists are not business savvy. And so what they end up doing is, excuse the expression, peeing away a lot of their money to produce albums when they should be producing two or three songs and doing a feasibility study to find out if anybody likes them.
Right. Do a little bit of market testing first.
Very much so.
You know, and on that note, Jan, I don't know if you remember the story, I was affiliated with a company which did do that and loaded my material into what's called a promotion library. And that promotion library had millions of songs in them. And then there was an Atlantic satellite chart which was basically a freebie. It wasn't bought and paid for, and it was worldwide. They just tracked these songs coming in and out of the promo libraries. They tracked songs being played on the radio from the digital signature. Yes, they can do that. They have been doing it for years. And then this chart would come out once a month. It was kind of like a tip sheet, for at least on the state side, Jan, to tell the labels, you know, if a song made it on that chart, it's a worldwide chart on the top 2,500, and it stayed there and it started to climb, even if it was down in like 1,500 range, they might have something there worthwhile promoting. And that's kind of like the test marketing that he did with my material to see if it was accepted.
But what was the end result then?
It was very well accepted. I had 26 songs on one month alone that was in the top 2,500.
My biggest concern would be, you and I have talked about this, is how much money did you make?
Zero. But that chart really has nothing to do with that, whether or not could have been successful if other things had been in place.
Okay, that's fair.
So, yeah, and I did have a budget, and, you know, I've had a marketing budget. When I plan an album, I also plan, you know, which songs are going to get released. And, you know, how long it's going to take for the promotion and how much money and where I'm going to spend it to promote it.
Jan, you got my mind up thinking. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I just wondering when you mentioned that, you know, place I'll put out like two or three songs, see if the public likes it, or
is
that kind of like for playing on the radio stations too? Is it best just to put like their best, or to put it out rather than all of them? Or
I think most often, and I know this with labels, they will only listen to two or three songs if you're lucky. If they like the first song, they may go on to the second song. I mean, I end up getting when I go through Sonic bids, I will only listen to about 30 seconds of the first song that I hear of the artist. I won't go past that. If the song doesn't hit me, then I go on to the next artist.
So, Jan, going back to you came back with 7 contracts, and of course now I'm affiliated with Warner Chappell. But
yes.
What were the other countries that we covered?
The other countries were Portugal, Spain, South Africa, Kenya, Africa, Australia, all of Southeast Asia, and Brazil.
Not a bad talent.
Not bad at all, because the music business book says if you get one, you're lucky.
You had a very successful trip that year.
I'm having success ever since then. This year I had more and more companies approach me, but I'm changing my tactics.
Well, on that note, I mean, I don't know if it needs to be private, but what do you do? Can you give us an overview of what are they looking for overseas?
Well, I'll give you an example. There was a group called 5AM, and Warner Chappell approached us, and said, look, we like one of their songs, but we want it in a Brazilian style. And it's a song called Imagination. They provided it to their artist, and it was released 2 or 3 weeks ago in the United States.
So you said in a Brazilian style, you know what that makes me, that reminds me, one of the things you introduced me to, Jan, which completely opened my eyes to a whole other avenue of marketing, is singing songs, my same songs that I've had out in other languages.
Well, very much so, Diane, because one of the funniest parts for me is I mostly deal with American artists, and I ask them, what is the biggest ethnic community in the United States? And they still haven't figured it out. It's Latino. So then the next question I ask them, how many of your songs are in Spanish? And the answer usually is zero. And yet, it takes a guy like Justin Bieber to do a song called Despacito, and it's had over 4.5 billion viewers. And he's from Canada.
Yeah, you know, and I did, so I tried my first song. I sang a song that already had it. In the rain in Spanish, you know, and I remember you telling me you wanted to bring something with you the second year you went in another language, and I'm like, I don't sing Spanish, but and they were like, you said it's okay, Diane, they appreciate that you try, and I think that was the second year that you went over, I wrote a song in Spanish, and it did really well.
The other thing that you have to understand is the United States is called the melting pot of immigrants. So you have large communities of Chinese, a large community of Filipinos, Italians, whatever, and they've got radio stations. So if you put your choruses in different languages, you can get it in larger number of radio stations. One of them's going to hit.
Yeah, so I think it's very important that, you know, and we think outside the box, you know, a lot of times, hold on one second, we might have a question.
Yeah.
How long can what?
People can call in.
Oh, people can call in now, right, Mike? Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, call in.
Don't hesitate.
Number's right on the website, or we'll give it to you real quick. 646-668-2389.
Also let Mike know at Joe Pops. I don't want to say no wrong name.
Joe Pops, you're listening to KCG Radio.
Yeah, he's asking if you're monitoring the chat box. I'm monitoring.
I'm watching it. Mike can't watch it. He's got four screens.
But he was asking if Mike was monitoring it.
No, Mike's not able to, I don't think, monitor it. Are you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm watching all of it right now. It's when I switch over, like, to connect phone lines and stuff that it kind of bounces around. But, yeah, I'm watching a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, I mean, if you're out there and you've got a question, this is the time to call in. Don't wait. This is the opportunity to ask. I had a lot of misconceptions about how to get my stuff overseas. And Jan really totally opened my mind to a whole different viewpoint of, you know, we have to think a little bit differently of what they're looking for. Wouldn't you say that is true, Jan?
Yeah, very much so, because you know what? When you look at the song Despacito, it's done in a style called reggaeton, and it is so danceable. And what Justin Bieber did was very smart. He wrote on the back of the turtle. He got two Spanish artists, and he sang very little, and it showed the beauty of Puerto Rico. So it showed the old people, the young people. It showed... If there was a storyline behind it, where most people, they just get into a music video and they just sing a song with no storyline behind it.
Oh, we got a caller we lost. I don't know what happened there, but Ed Service wanted to...
There's a question that came in. How long should an intro be? I think, and that's Joe typed that in. Oh, maybe it was Ed.
I think it was Ed.
Yeah, and Ed wanted to know how long an intro should be.
Well, here's what let me jump in here. Jan had me prepare basically choruses. I mean, I did send full songs with you, Jan, right?
But, yes.
But you also asked for me to sing a chorus in another language. And you don't have
yes.
to do the whole song.
No, and you can get people to help you with the language, do the translation, usually from the International Students Association at any university. They'll be glad to do it for you.
Okay, Ed Service had a question about Blue Helix. They're artists, a band on our site, and they're from Brazil. Are you familiar with them at all, Jen?
No, because I basically, I listen to Brazilian music, but no, I haven't heard of the group.
Okay, they're actually out of Washington, but I think the lead singer is from Brazil. They just won a big video contest up there. Ed was asking about that. And yes, Ed, I think the lead singer is from Brazil, and the other guys, I think the other three are from the U.S.
Yeah, I think so. So tell everybody, I think we've got a lot of artists listening, Jan.
Okay.
I tell them how they could make contact with you. As far as, you know, getting consideration, because not everybody, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. And I mean, I would think, maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, that you should have, it'd be better for you to have a good catalog, right?
Well, I think that's what record labels are looking for, is catalogs. They're not looking for one or two songs. But I find the problem is that the labels have become, pigs, on the basis that they're scooping up catalogs, but I don't think they're listening to the music.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm suggesting I'm going to start just sending in one or two songs to each of my labels and say, look, give me a response on these two songs.
And then they could get a hold. How would they get a hold of you, Jan? Best way.
The best way is probably through email, which is my name backwards, cooperjan2@gmail.com.
Hey, could you say that again one more time?
It's cooperjan2@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Okay. So you, and the meet-em is once a year. Remind me which month that is.
It's in June.
In June. I'm hoping to go next year.
I would love you to go with me.
I can't wait.
It's something that goes way beyond any trade show. More dealing with buying product as compared to, let's say, South by Southwest.
Yeah. An artist typically cannot get into that function, correct?
No, they can. You mean that to the meet them? Sure they can.
They can, okay.
But it's very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive. You consider the airfare, the hotel, and everything, all the amenities that go with it, that it does get quite expensive. And you know what? And if you contact Jan, be prepared. This is part of your business plan. There is a cost. And it's not because he wants to rip you off. Well, they're like 99% of the industries out there doing, because, you know, everybody deserves to get paid for what they do, including the artist, including all the people that you work with, your promoters. I'm speaking up for you, Jan, and also everybody else that's out there doing legitimate business, because if you had a sandwich shop, you'd have to pay for the materials to make your sandwiches. You'd have to pay for your advertisement. So this is a business. That's why they call it the music business. Be prepared to invest in your in that. And if you get an opportunity to have Jan represent you, I can tell you on darn good authority that he will do that and more for you. Hope you don't mind
Thank
me
you.
Plugging.
No, but I really appreciate it. But I'm surprised there should be a lot of phone calls then, because a lot of people don't know what's going on in the industry today.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about you, Jan, is you keep your thumb on the pulse of what's going on overseas and what the labor's looking for. We've had a few agreements that weren't working, but you went back over and with full intentions to find somebody else.
Yeah, because if one company doesn't do something, then I'm going out after another.
Right. So he's out there working. Yeah.
So, Diane, does your co-host have anything to ask?
I don't know. You've had me pretty stumped on all this because, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way for actually an artist to make money, but looks like, you know, I'm not sure about the intro, you know, what I can do as a radio station to actually do more or better for the actual artist to get, you know, because I've been pretty much playing most of, Diane just sent me like another 5 songs this week. I've been playing pretty much most of their music like that, and I don't know if that's really a good thing or just cut it down to 1 or 2 or, you know, to push on the station.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you do people call in and give you a review of her music?
No.
They don't have an opportunity to call in?
Oh, yes, they do. Okay, we got another call. They can call in any time on the lines. We always have the studio line open or this multi-line.
Okay.
But I think people are afraid to call sometimes. They're not sure what to say.
Okay, we got another caller here. Who we have on the line?
This is Ed, Mike.
Oh, hi.
I had to plug my phone in. My phone was dead. Question for Jan is I'm just interested in getting music published, and maybe you can put in a few tips on that. That's why I wanted to know about the song intros, because I found out when I used to do it, I used to get tapes back with they didn't even play for the intros and get to the song. So.
The thing is that you really need an intermediator. You need somebody to go between you, the songwriter, and the publishing companies, because nowadays the labels will not deal with artists at all.
Oh, I've been finding that out. I got out of it for a long time and then decided, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead again and take another stab at it, but it's looking like it's going to take I don't know. It's going to go between like an agent or what, and I'll be looking into that here pretty quick. But
we got another caller. Excuse me.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, who we got on the line now?
This is Cosmo calling in.
Well, hey,
Cos. Oh, hi, Cos.
Hey, hi, Diane. Hi, Jan. Hi, Mike.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi.
Hey,
howdy.
Oh, howdy.
Hey, this has got to be one of the most informative conferences I've heard in a long time, with some real truth about how someone can, well, get their material out around the world. I mean, meeting Jan was a pretty miraculous thing, I got to tell you.
I think the thing is, Cos, you and Diane know that I work outside the box, and as I've said before, if you can take one of your songs and put it in 20 different versions, one of them's going to hit.
Makes perfect sense to me.
It's an amazing thought. You take one album, 10 songs, sing it in Mandarin, sing it in Spanish, sing it in French.
Yep.
How much material now do you have out of 10 songs?
Oh,
you've got
60
songs.
A lot.
Or you got 30 songs.
But
yeah.
Let me tell you that a lot of you probably didn't know that Shania Twain, on her last album, did the same songs in a pop version, a country version, and a techno version for Europe. So she covered three territories.
She just,
you know, one thing I really appreciate, Jan, is the fact that you do think outside of the box, really, from anyone I've met here in America and a lot of people I've met from Europe. And I think that's what one has to do in these times where everything, all the cages are being rattled, and one has to figure out a new strategy that's going to work with today's peculiarities going down. And I think you really have nailed it down.
Well, yeah, because the industry is changing since downloading has come along, and people are using YouTube. But let me tell you what I figured out, and I said it to Diane today. The lady from Universal Records this year said to me that your artist must have a track record. What I didn't think about, what she was talking about, is if you've got 20 or 30 million viewers on YouTube, you've got a huge fan base, and that's when a record company is interested in picking you up.
Say, what do you guys know about TuneCore?
TuneCore. Shoot.
A publisher.
I was just checking my accounts the other evening. I had 158 pages of sales and plays. And at the end of the day, after they took out their portion, I ended up with $6 and change.
You weren't able to buy that pizza.
I wasn't even able to buy it. It was kind of depressing, actually. But, you know, and the other downside to TuneCore is that, you know, you have to re-up staying out there. I believe mine's on annual. And if you keep on paying and not getting paid. The ones that are making the money is the ones that are housing them, not the artist. The best deal I've found, Mike, is CD Baby. You pay $25 for an album and it's out there. You don't have to keep on renewing it to the grave.
Okay, but I have a question for you, Diane, is this. How do people find you on CD Baby with the thousands of CDs?
Just type in Diane Meek.
We've been pushing social media. As you well know, Rudy is on board, and we've been, you know, plastering it everywhere. And I do sell. In fact, I sold out on CD Baby, and I have to send them some more. I mean, I've sold out multiple times on the regular hard CD. People are still wanting a real disc.
Well, that's good to hear.
Okay, I think we lost. Did we lose Cosmo?
I'm still here.
Okay, did we lose Ed? Must have lost Ed.
Is Ed still with us?
No, I think he must have. He's a sheep herder. He doesn't like head talking. Just joking.
You know,
no,
I'm wondering if.
Well, I'll tell you.
So.
You listen to KCG?
Sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt you, Kaz. Cosmo, are you still there?
Yeah, I was just checking in.
Okay, just a second, please. Gary, why don't you give us a call? Lines are open, 646-668-2389. I see Gary Nelson up there posting a bunch on the live chat. But give us a call. Come on. Ask the questions
on,
or talk about it to the professionals.
Let's see. I'm trying to read it as a songwriter. Warm your songs. They do nothing. You know, one of the things I think, and Jan, you can, and Cosmo, you could verify, is that the perception of how the industry works. We've been told a lot of things as artists of how it's supposed to work, you know, get signed, and that's the end all. But, you know, and what we, and you're right, Jan, a lot of us don't have, aren't really business savvy. One thing I do have in my corner is my dad made me go to college and study business. So it helped balance my brain out a little bit. But it's been, you know, our perception, we look at a superstar and we think, oh, they must be making millions, you know. It must be easy.
It's easy, you know. Money for nothing and the chicks for free.
Right, but you know what you don't see behind the scenes is all the work involved, all the millions that are dumped into that artist. And you know what? Signing with a label, you know, that's actually almost becoming a dinosaur, you know. But signing with a label is not necessarily a good thing because you're going to owe everybody. Every piece of you is going to be owned, and owned even till after you're dead. So you know what?
Well,
I think today, right now, we're in a time of the independent artist. And the more musicians and songwriters that take hold of the power of we and supporting one another, that we will become a stronger, more unstoppable community, and that we could learn from each other of what works and what doesn't, and maybe abandon those practices of those companies like, I hate to say it, TuneCore, that's making a killing off of us, and we're not making anything. But if more people stand up and stand together, instead of not, you know, it's like what I hate to see is when an artist gets jealous of another artist.
Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
And that's you know, the thing is, I always say, well, wouldn't it be horrible if the only music you had to listen to for the rest of your life was mine? You know?
Yeah.
Like variety. You know?
There's a lot of different ways of looking at the world, and music is definitely a way, an audio way of looking at the world, and an emotional way of looking at the world.
You know,
yeah.
Diane made the point about the artists helping each other, and that's kind of what I'm starting to see now on the station, that a lot of artists are actually helping, you know, posting, you know, their likes and everything. So I've been seeing a lot of that in the last about 5-6 weeks, and I think that's a big plus.
The other thing, Mike, I think it's really novel, in, you know, in what I've seen in years, that you're representing all indie acts. That's fantastic.
Well, he does have.
I used to work a little
on the station too, right, Mike?
I what?
You have major artists on the station as well.
I have now until I get more, because I have to keep it up. I have to keep the stuff coming in new. If I don't, everybody's heard the same stuff and they don't want to listen. So, until now, if I got like 1,000 artists on here, or probably 500-600. Then I'd be cutting away from that, but I just have to keep the music coming in, the newer stuff. And right now the labels, with the newer stuff's about the only way I can keep everything fresh, because a lot of these artists I've had the same songs on for 6, 8 months or even a couple years.
Mike, have you thought of
yes.
going to some of the indie websites like Sonic Bids and checking out their music? There's over 400,000 songwriters on there.
Oh, really? No. I actually been hoping they come to the station, but it's getting kind of a little less.
Then you've got to reach out to them. And Sonic Bids, like I said, you sign up and you can listen to each artist and contact them.
Oh, really? That's Sonic Bid?
Yeah, they want to have one of the largest databases for independent.
And they're from around the world.
Jam Base is another good one. Jam Base for all the different jam bands that are out there.
Yep.
You guys wouldn't email me these or tweet them to me, would you? These places
could be
could actually. I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, because there, like I said. There is, or if you also check a website called unsigned.com, that also has thousands of unsigned artists.
Oh, so we could pretty much pick and choose, is what you're saying, that of who
that's
we wanted.
Exactly
or...
That's right. That's exactly what I do.
Okay. I know a lot of these artists, a lot of them don't even know how to do the tags in the songs, you know, and with our artwork and all that, we have to have those in order for it to pop up.
Well, it's something that you can demand from them.
Oh, I do, but like one day we had 21 submissions and 19 of them were rejected and deleted just because of that, and two of them actually had them, so that's what I mean. It's getting harder and harder to really get more and more artists on here because a lot of them don't understand how to do it.
Well,
maybe
if you guys don't mind, let's jump back over to international distribution with Jan for just for a second. I wanted to ask Jan a question, and I think it'd be kind of important. So, Jan, if you could think of three very important things or two very important things or however many it is, you know, advice you could give to an artist to best prepare them, what they can do to get their stuff in front of of you, and so you could get excited to get their stuff in front of some major distribution for them overseas. What advice would you give them?
Well,
can
the first
I interrupt
thing
real quick? We got another caller. I'm just. Who we have on the line?
It's Mark Johnson.
Okay, hi, Mark. Okay, go ahead.
Really just want to make a statement. First, Jan, I agree totally with what he was talking about at the top of the show about these agents taking people's money. I've known a couple of people 25 years ago that was bled dry financially by these so-called agents getting to Nashville, and they'd cut one song and so forth. So that's something that the newer artist really needs to be aware of. Just basically aware of. Second of all, Diane's a good friend of mine. I just wanted to give her a shout-out and say that she is one of the most kind-hearted people I've ever known in my life. For the people that's out there listening, her music comes from her heart. She doesn't write songs or play music that she's really not sincere about. And I love her to death. That's basically it. I hope it didn't embarrass you, Diane.
Oh, no. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody.
I appreciate you calling in, too. Thank you.
Go ahead, Jan.
Okay,
night,
so the three points are, number one is we're becoming more visual. So you've got to have a good video that has a good concept, something that would really, I've always believed that politics and religion, anything that's controversial, will draw a huge audience towards you. The second thing is you've got to have a real catchy chorus that relates today to what's happening in our society. And three, I think you've got to be very animated in what you do. That means you've got to believe in what you're doing and not just write a song for yourself. And I find a lot of songwriters write songs because they love it. But remember, it's the audience that pays your bill.
That's exactly what I say about the station, is that, you know, we don't really care if the artists listen. We want the listeners, you know, to vote and stuff.
Yep.
So the three, Jan, we repeat them back, is to be more visual, right?
Yes, it's got to be a good video.
And number two was?
Catchy chorus.
Yes, a real catchy chorus. Some of the dumbest, shortest choruses are the best things.
And then number three is?
The song should not be all about you. It should be about, it should be dealing with a general population.
Something that people can relate to.
Very much so.
You know, on that note, I think it's important, at least to me it is, to have a mission. A mission statement for your business, because it is a music business. You know, it's got, you got to be able to feel it too, but, you know, to have a pulse on what's going on out there in the world.
I totally agree. You've got to have some form of direction. You can't just go into it in the dark.
So next, the next meetup is next June.
June. And I'm already taking product in.
You already take product in, and you do go, don't take a ton of, you take enough that you can focus and work, right, Jan?
Gee, I take 5 to 6 singer-songwriters, and they have to be of different styles.
So right now is a great opportunity. You got time to make contact with Jan. And you
can,
know,
we got one more caller.
There's a small window of how many he takes. So
we got another caller. I hate to interrupt.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Who do we have on the
Joe
line?
Joe Pops-Burrito.
Oh, hi, Joe.
Yeah, I've been trying to call in for a while.
Our light's been open.
The question for Jan was, I'm seeing now on music videos, they're using lyric videos. Is that any good?
Yeah, because you know what? It's really great if artists can sing along with it. That's number one. And a lot of artists are also developing videos with karaoke tracks so people can sing along with it.
Yeah, I've done that on my website. I have karaoke versions of my song. The next question I have for you is, you mentioned that labels are looking at YouTube views. Now, how do they do that when you can purchase YouTube views? $2 gets you 1,000 views and stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening, and I'll give you an example. There's a young girls group called the Hashik Sisters. You can go check them out. But what these little characters are doing is they're doing cover tunes without changing them a bit, but their visuals are aimed towards that age group. The average viewers is between, you won't believe this, but you can check it out, between 50 million and 119 million.
I kid you not.
Are any copyright problems with that?
Not at all, because you go to, in Canada, we go to what they call the CMRRA, and we get permission from the publishers, and they love it.
Wow.
Also, think about it. If you do a cover tune, and people know the song, then you lead them to your original song.
I didn't think of that. I thought once they heard a cover tune, they thought you were just a cover band, and that was it.
Not at all. Including, it's like leading the horse to water.
So, Jan, I have another quick question. Is it worth me putting... I hate to keep interrupting. Is it worth me playing cover songs from these indie artists?
Very much so, because... No, very much so, because remember... A cover tune is much more difficult to redo because they're going to compare it with the original artist. But I'll give you an example. There's a group called the Arctic Monkeys out of England who did a cover tune of Rod Stewart's. They put it on iTunes, and they got over 100,000 people buying it.
Wow.
No,
wow.
That does everyone good.
Very much
okay,
so.
I've always... I actually thought it was worse for me to do that on the station because not being original.
Why? If it's done by a different artist, wouldn't you say then it's original?
Yes. I mean, you just kind of opened my eyes when you mentioned that earlier. I just kind of like... Oh, because I know somebody that's once sent me a couple covers, and they said they're doing real well selling them on the internet. And so I was just when you brought that up, I just thought, wow, I guess I was totally wrong all this time. So thank you.
No, you're not totally wrong. It's just more of I've had more artists come up to me and say, oh, that guy did a cover tune. I said, really? Well, look at the number of cover tunes that have become number one hits on radio.
Yep.
It's all in our perception. You know, we think it's supposed to work this way.
Well, Diane, I'll give you an example. Do you remember a song called The Cup Song?
Yes.
Okay, that was written in 1934. And it became a number one hit.
So, yeah, things don't always work the way you think they do. That's why it's important to kind of, you know, sit back and pay attention and feel the vibe, what's happening in the world right now. What's working?
Well, Diane, look at how Michael Bublé made it. He did Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra songs and he's still doing them.
Yeah.
There's an example right there.
Well, if you and I are making $40 million a year, are you going to argue about it?
Oh, heck no.
Just where you might spend it.
We're going down to your place, Cos.
There you go. It's great. You know, while everyone else is in the middle of the winter, we're warm down here. You got to watch out for the hurricanes during hurricane season, but, you know, it's a nice place to be for the most part.
For sure.
Winter
Does
is an option.
Does anybody have any questions?
What's that?
KCG.
What
was that, Jen?
Oh, I was just asking if anybody has any more questions.
Hey, we got that. Gary Nelson, he keeps writing stuff, but he's not calling in, so we'll just wipe him off on the chat, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Well, Gary, thanks so much, Dan, for coming on tonight. I appreciate it. And you know what? And I'll extend a hand out there like I always do. If you're unable to get a hold of Jan or for some reason, you can always shoot me a text. You can always tag me. And I'm more than willing to help anybody learn what I've learned and help you become successful at what you love to do.
And I want to leave one message for all of you that are listening. The music industry needs a lot more older artists because, remember, the population in the United States and Canada is aging, and people are just thinking it's the world of the Selena Gomez's and the Justin Bieber's, but we need older artists.
Thank you for saying that, Jam.
Oh, it makes me feel good.
You know,
well,
what you just... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What you just mentioned about that, I had a gentleman, actually his name's Ed Service, and he said I played his song G.I. Joe. It's a patriotic song, and he said he couldn't believe on the charts on the station. He said just during that time it played, it shot up the charts, and he was really impressed for his age because he's an older gentleman. And so it's quite interesting what you just said, too. So.
Well, you know what? If it's that bad, we should then shoot Tony Bennett.
I think we should take this to like a 5-hour show. What do you think?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
One of the nicest guys to work with, Tony Bennett.
I believe it.
I have on several occasions.
Wow.
Is that Cosmo?
Yeah.
Oh.
What'd you say, Cos?
I said Tony Bennett is a consummate gentleman to work with.
I believe
it. Oh, my God. We're going to have to kind of cut this short. I didn't realize it's almost 9 o'clock, gentlemen and ladies.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Everybody else for calling in, too. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting all of you, too.
Well, Jan,
I'll be talking to you. Right.
I guess thank you, Jan, for calling in too, because this was sure an eye opener for me, and I'm glad I had quite a bit of knowledge from tonight. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so pleased to meet you and talk to you about it, because there's going to be a lot of changes coming up in the next year or so.
Well, thank you.
It'd be kind of cool to have you back on. Maybe
oh,
when
yeah.
we get back,
you're welcome anytime. Maybe you'll rather take me, Jen, or have me go out there than take Diane. She's kind of a little troublemaker, you know.
Well, that's the people I love is troublemakers.
Okay, well, we're going to have to end the show. But
I wish you guys a good weekend.
Hey, you too.
You,
and I'll
thanks,
I'll
Jan.
You.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks, Mike.
All right, good
thank
night.
Thank you. Good night,
good
guys.
Night, thank you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Diane, too. Wow,
night,
what a night.
Mike. Good night.
So everybody disconnected? Oh, yep. Wow, that was a great night, huh? Well, we're going to try to get this on YouTube tomorrow, so this one's well worth putting on YouTube, and we'll probably put it on speaker.com, too. So thanks a lot for having us in your homes tonight, and I want to thank Diane Mink, Cosmo, Jan, Joe Pops, Ed Service, Mark for calling. Thank you, guys, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll re-air this on Monday morning, 11 o'clock. Thank you, and have a great evening. You're listening to Mike Leonard Show. In case
all
you...
original-